Blog Talk Radio.
Have a good one, babe. I'll talk to you in a little bit. The mic might dry. Drop. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Big Mike Drop. I'm your host, Big Mike, and I am joined by my lovely co-host, Ronnie LaDue. What's going on, Ronnie? How you doing?
What's up, Mike?
Man, cooling, cooling. Let's see. Let's get everything up. I hear myself a lot better now. There we go. Yeah, what's going on with you?
Ain't nothing to it, as my daddy used to say.
Ain't nothing to it. Ain't nothing to it but to do it, for real. Ain't nothing going on. Yeah, man, we just chilling, man. We back here for the Big Mic Drop this week. Interesting topic this week. We got a lot of things to touch on, Ronnie. What's been going on the New York end?
Just craziness as usual. Weather been so crazy, Mike. One day we was like in the 20s, the 17, and then we was in the 50s. It's been crazy.
Yeah, like last weekend we were like 18 was the high. And then like today it was down to 70 degrees. So.
See?
You know, shout out to pneumonia. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't like the weather, just stick around a day or two. You know what I'm saying? It's going to change here in Georgia.
It's going to change.
Exactly. So, man, look, I'm going to do it a little different tonight, man. I did drop the link in the chat. Those of you who are out there joining us, if you want to call in or do you want to, you know, tap into the discussion tonight because it's an important discussion. And the name of the show that I decided tonight was RICO, Mammies, Our Racketeering Influence and Corrupt Organization. And that's from yours truly, the Big Mic Drop. So we getting ready to lay out a case, man, because the mammyism has to stop in our community. It's harmful. It's killing us. It's killing us. And just, you know, as a disclaimer, I'm not talking about all women, and I'm not talking about just black women. There are different races of mammies.
Yes,
there are different types of mammies, and all women aren't mammies. But we're going to discuss what a mammy is, historically what a mammy is, amongst other things. I guess a good place to really start is Donald Trump won New Hampshire. He won a New Hampshire primary. So, hey, look, it's on and popping. It looks like Donald Trump is going to be the Republican nominee for president. So
Uncle Trump.
We're going to have some decisions to make coming up soon. Like we discussed on last show, I think that honestly our older relatives especially, because they're going to be really traumatized by this, our older relatives should start really thinking now, what are they going to do in another Trump presidency? Because it looks like that's going to be it. I don't think your boy Biden going to make it.
Mm-mm.
I don't think he's going to make
it. I'm surprised he made it this far. I thought his health was going to fail him.
If it hasn't already, then it's going to be soon. And probably mental health. Yeah, mental health is going to be it because the guy's slow. I'm not saying vote for Trump, but I definitely wouldn't vote for Biden. Nobody's going to give us anything, so we might as well go with who's going to make the economy better at this point in time. That's my thoughts on it. But as a black person, we don't really have to vote. Unless you're really going to do something for us, specifically for us.
Now you're talking, Mike.
Yeah, student loan debt is not it. I don't have any student loans. So I wasn't excited at all about canceling student loan debt. I know a lot of people are.
I was excited, but it didn't happen for me.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are excited about that, but that's not anything that impacts me. I don't feel like that's something for me. Police and prison reform, once again, don't really feel like that's something for me. Never been to prison. Don't plan on going to prison.
Okay.
So, you know, reform or no reform, that doesn't really, you know, suit me. What suits me as a voter?
That's right.
What suits me? Man, we got Amber Alert in the building.
Hey, Amber.
Shout out to the Red Cub Nation, by the way. Red Cub Nation. I got my, Ronnie, I think you still with the wine glass, right?
Yeah, I'm with the wine glass. I have my Red Cup next week.
That's fine. As long as you're sipping wine-like products, you can sip them. You can use a glass. I know wine doesn't taste as good in a Red Cup. Unless you.
This is what I got, Mike.
What is that? Seagram's? Smirnoff.
Smirnoff Ice Peach Lemonade.
Oh, wow. How's it taste?
It's really good. It came with like four different flavors in the box.
Oh, okay. Now, we don't have those. I remember them Smirnoff Ice was popping back in the day, though. I was in Dothan, Alabama back when those Smirnoff Ice came out, and they used to call them Smirnoff Ice. Shout out to Dothan, man. I take one of them Smirnoff Ice. That's how that's
real good and smooth.
Oh, yeah, real good and smooth. Man, so check it out. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Uh-oh. Let's see. Amber said Red Cups, Amaretto Sour over here, keeping it old. Well, shout out to the Amaretto Sour.
I heard that.
Yeah, shout out to the Amaretto Sour. I think I saw Mandrill in the chat. Mandrill, are you in the chat? Are you in the chat? My home is Snell from Dothan, Alabama. I don't know who Snell is. But keep it funky, your IRL in the building. Man, I stayed in Dothan like 7 years.
Did you like it, that little boring town?
Wonderful little town. Wonderful little town. It's a place.
Were you bored as hell, Mike?
Huh?
Were you bored as hell in Dothan?
No, I'm never bored. You know the party. You know the party follow me, and I find something to do. And I was close to Mobile, so I stayed in Mobile. You know what I mean? I make me a little trip to Mobile in a heartbeat. Reginald, what's going on, Reginald? How you doing, man? Yeah, so, man, I'm glad y'all joined us tonight, man. You are
the Mike Drop.
Listen to the Big Mike Drop. Me and Ronnie Lidoo getting ready to lay out this case on these mammies tonight. And also talk about a few more things that's going on that we need to put our attention on. I think before we get into the mammyism, I want to discuss this article that you sent me. And I think it's sad and interesting at the same time. So I want to go over this first because apparently they have migrants living in airports.
They do.
Around the nation, different airports. And it's so crazy. I think they said they put a curtain up.
A black curtain.
Yeah. So you going through like TSA.
Hundreds of migrants are now living at O'Hare Airport.
Hold on. You going through TSA and you literally got people living in the damn airport with a curtain up. So let's run this story that you sent me. And
how do we get so bad, Mike? How does it get so bad with migrants?
Man, I really think that they're trying to create a voter block. outside of us. Because I know they don't want to do anything for us. So I think that the whole thing is to politically outnumber us. So they're trying to create a voter block of loyal Democrats, because it's the Democratic thing. But what they don't understand is most of these people are going to vote Republican when they start really becoming politically mature. They're going to join the conservative party because they come from conservative countries.
A lot they're going to have to get their citizenship first, though, right?
I don't think so.
You think they're going to start letting these people just vote? Because they're giving them health care in California.
Yeah, I think so. I think they're letting them drive, too. You can drive without a license.
Drive without a license?
You can use your arrest warrant as a form of identification.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, you said Reggie's his name. You said, yes, they're adding to the census representation. Yeah. Man, Raj Will in the building. What's happening with the salute to you, Sal? Yeah. So, yeah, that's really what they're trying to do. They're trying to boost the numbers up and create that voter block for the Democratic Party. Why do you think they keep telling us that we need to vote and voting rights is something that we need to vote for? Have you ever had a problem voting?
No.
Has anybody said, hey, Ronnie, you can't vote because you black or this or that?
Never. Never.
Never had that issue. But they keep putting it on the ballot saying that voters' rights is the number one thing for us. They keep saying that black people's number one issue is voting rights. Voting rights hadn't been an issue since my grandmother's days.
Exactly.
So I don't think it's an issue now for us. No, they want to be able to let other people without identifications vote. So they keep proposing legislation or proposing these executive orders to have people vote without IDs. You know, that's
so everything that citizens can't do, like driving and all this stuff without license, they can do.
Right.
Everything that people born here cannot do legally can be done by people that come here and that aren't even citizens.
Right. That's a fact, man. We got Mr. Logic in the building, man. What's going on with you, Sam?
I'm chilling now. It's like it's 2:15 in the morning, man. So I got to cut my camera off, though. But
okay.
Hey, salute on this conversation, bro.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man. Thank you for joining us, man. Where you at?
I'm in Germany now.
Oh, okay. Nice, man. That's what's up. Yeah. So what are your thoughts on it?
No, you spot on. Because what it is they not trying to get them to vote. So they won't vote. But what happened is, just say the census come, just say use one of these towns that's where these countries, well, not countries, these cities that allow these immigrants come in. Just say, for example, California, right?
Right.
If they go and they add 1 million people, then a census will change. So now when a census change, now they will have more representation in the Senate.
Yes.
So now, even though it's not actual voting power, but it's more representation that they can, instead of like, you know, California got a lot of senators because of their population.
Right.
So imagine they add 1 million to that. So now they add in 2 Senate seats.
Right. Oh, you mean Congress, right? Congressional seats.
Congressional
okay.
seats, my bad.
All right,
yeah.
All right, yeah.
So that's what it's doing. It's almost kind of like voting, but, you know what I'm saying, they won't be able to vote. You know what I'm saying? But they just get more representation.
Yeah, what
so they can
doing
pass the laws.
They're increasing the power within the House to dictate legislation is what you're saying. They're giving
mm-hmm.
them the numbers to get more Congress people in there, if I'm not. Is that what you're saying? Correct.
Yeah, because what they're doing now is they you seen the stores, man, that they like flying them out, you know what I'm saying, like to all these different they find them in Philadelphia, they fly them to Atlanta. They flying them to all these metropolitan areas. You know what I'm saying? And it's pretty much it's going to increase their voting blocks for these different areas. And
right.
now it's easy for them to do stuff. So if they keep this pace up, you know what I'm saying, a president won't even matter no more.
Right. That's a fact, because all the power of the purse, the power to levy taxes, all of that lays in the House.
Mm-hmm.
Fact.
Yeah, so everything has to go through the House of Representatives. I understand now. So yeah, it's a slick, left-handed, backdoor way of trying to take over and impose your will. It's almost like packing the courts, which is
exactly
what they've talked about doing. is packing the courts as well. So, yeah, they're going to try to push this doggone agenda that they have going on that we see clearly, and they're going to use whoever they got to use to do it. So, go ahead.
But this is the problem, though. My opinion, though, is I'm in Europe now, right? And, Europe pretty much got open borders.
Right.
It don't work.
No.
So, it's crazy that they'll try to see something, try to do something that actually is failing all over this place, man. You know what I'm saying? You can look at areas like Sweden and Finland and stuff like that. This shit is proven. My bad, I ain't mean to cuss on your show.
But you're good.
This stuff is proven to fail, but it's a power play. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right. Yeah, man, Europe is a good model to look at, man, because they're having all types of problems, especially in places like France, whatnot, with the immigrant population there. They almost on takeover status there. And we're afraid it's going to be like that over here. I ain't going to lie to you. Don't know much about Germany. Germany seems to keep their shit tight, though.
No, they got an immigrant problem, too. You know what I'm saying? But it ain't hit that level, though. But America, because they still limited because they don't have a lot of freedoms that we got.
Right.
So with that model that we are accepting in America, where, you know what I'm saying, you get free everything if you really wanted to, plus they give me benefits and all that kind of stuff like that. These places don't give them type of benefits.
Right, right. Yeah,
and we don't want to take their tax model. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. This is a welfare state, man. It's a welfare situation. I want to cut to this video real quick, Mr. Logic. You going to stick with us for a minute?
Yeah, go ahead, bro. I'm chilling.
All right, yeah, we're going to play this little video. Ronnie sent me this earlier this week, and I really think it's important for people to understand what's going on. It's now becoming it's becoming a health issue. It's becoming all types of it's all types of ramifications behind bringing all of these people in here. But this is news at 9. I guess this is a local news station, Channel 9. And we want to look at what's going on in O'Hare and in Chicago. Let's check it out.
Hundreds of migrants are now living at O'Hare Airport.
The general public won't see them as they're being kept behind a makeshift privacy partition. However, WGN's Brona Tumulty went behind the curtains to take a look.
Good evening, guys. It is quite a sad, depressing situation over by the bus shuttle center. One man told me he has been sleeping there for the last 4 days, and those in the same boat simply have no idea what happens next.
This is the scene right now at O'Hare Airport. Hundreds of asylum seekers lying on makeshift beds.
Hey, they got her straight off the boat, man. She sounds like she's straight from Ireland.
Many of them children. The area where they're being kept is under the guise of black curtains by the bus shuttle centre, out of sight for most of the people coming through the airport. Those here tell us this has been their home for several days, like this man from Venezuela.
While they find another place for us to go to. Some have been here for 10 days, but people keep leaving, and the city of Chicago will take us and will find a place for us to stay.
He says there are...
All right, those of you who voted for, what's his name, Brandon Jackson in Chicago, go ahead and keep this in mind. Chicago's telling all of these people they can come to Chicago.
That's what it sounds like.
And your boy in New York was doing it in the beginning. Now he crying a different game. He crying foul up there in New York now. So just keep that in mind about your new black mayor in Chicago that you voted. I know you got Lori Lightfoot out of there, which was good. We needed Beetlejuice out of office, too. She liked Beetlejuice. But now you got this Brandon Jackson guy, I believe that's his name. I have to check and see. He's in there. He's letting everybody come. It's a free-for-all. And they got black curtains up in the airport. So do you know how much...
I got a bigger question, though.
Yeah.
If all these cities got homeless problems, right, why in the hell, if you already got a homeless problem, why would you invite immigrants into your city?
That's a good question.
Look, if we don't push back on this, it's only going to get worse. Now, all of these people are coming from the same place. I know they keep trying to just say migrants, but if you notice, all of these people are coming from Venezuela. And there's been a Venezuelan invasion happening for the past 5 years? maybe four.
Yeah, no, it's just not Venezuela. It's Honduras. It's literally a multiple. I mean, it's multitude of different countries though. And then now it's Arab. It's everybody. You know what I'm saying? People want to come to America because, like I said, America is free. You know what I'm saying? America have more freedoms than most of it. And now, you know what I'm saying, you got a moral code in America. So, you know what I'm saying, it's a lick for them. But why would you bring that to America when you can't even deal with the people you got here?
Right.
It's crazy. And these cities, you know what I'm saying, New York, Chicago, you know what I'm saying, I'm from Atlanta. It's horrible in Atlanta right now.
Oh, I'm here. That's where I'm at right now. And Ronnie in New York. So, yeah, we definitely know. Definitely know.
Hundreds of people like him in the same boat. And while it's not their choice to sleep here, there's little else they can do.
But here, look at this. Let me go back a little bit.
Their choice to sleep here, there's little else they can do. And while it's not their choice.
Hey, hold on. Why they got this old ass dude over here? You see what I'm saying? Look at this guy. Why is he coming over here? You see what I mean? Why are they bringing people like this? He's sleep and he's getting free shit. Why they bring him over here? Did he not create a life for himself in Venezuela?
At his age, you would think.
Right. At 60-something years old, you would think you had too much back in Venezuela to up and just leave.
Man, look, they going to sit. Look, watch this. First off, what they're going to do is they're going to do what the Mexicans been doing for a long time. They're going to make money in America and send it back to their country. So now that's another negative for America, because now our money is no longer rotating in America, right?
Right.
Then if you look at it, what people should be asking is how in the hell these people get to Chicago? Chicago is not, you know what I'm saying? I mean, we can say Texas, right? They got through Texas through the border.
Mm-hmm.
It got to be a sort of effort to get them to Chicago. This is in Chicago.
Oh, no.
Greg
Abbott putting their ass on buses and airplanes.
Yes, they busting them to New York.
Yeah, they busting them out of Texas. So they are coming through Texas, but they're getting bused to sanctuary cities. That's another thing that's brewing on the under as well with Texas and Greg Abbott, man. This shit could really start a civil war in this country right now.
That's what they was doing at first, and it was more of a joke because it was like, okay, if you're going to allow them in, we going to send them to you. So they send them to Martha Vineyard and all them different places there, and they got rid of that. But the bigger thing is now the U.S. government is actually giving them tickets to these sanctuary cities.
Oh, gotcha.
So it's no longer – when Abbott did it, it was a troll move to see him say, if you're going to not enforce the border – and these people is coming over here, how about we send them to you? That was the first line of him doing that as a troll.
Facts.
But now the government is now actually physically giving people tickets to go to these sanctuary cities.
Yeah, and I even heard they don't even have to go through TSA lines, which is pissing all the young traveling females off around here in Atlanta. Let's keep going.
And while it's not their choice to sleep here, there's little else they can do.
No one likes to live there. It's just a process that we have to wait for, to be called, and then we can leave. You're not going to be there for months. You're only there for days while the city finds a place for you.
We also tried to speak inside with those seemingly in charge, but they refused to talk with us. Just
ain't that shit ghetto, man?
It's horrible.
That's tacky.
Hey, that shit look like Cynthia Rhodes.
Yeah, that shit tacky, bro.
Last week, Chicago's Mayor Brandon Johnson and Governor J.B. Pritzker penned a joint letter asking the federal government to streamline the work authorization process for asylum seekers. Over the past year, it's understood almost 40...
So you hear that? Brandon Johnson and Pritzker, who's part of the richest family in Illinois, by the way. Pritzker is the richest family in Illinois, just for information. But anyway, they can contact the federal government to streamline resources to these people. They can get jobs popping, places to live. Like dude said, you only there for days. Now, how many of us here that need places to live on waiting lists for years.
Lots of people.
Taxpayers, people that paid taxes, and they've been on lists for years. This guy said you only there days till they find you something to do. Watch out, in the future, these going to be the same people who kids telling your kids and grandkids that they did, that they came with no money in their pocket, and they made it, got it out the mud, and we should be able to do the same thing, and they pulled themselves up by their bootstraps. But you see, it's welfare program central. So I want y'all to understand that. Hey, I want y'all to remember this. I want y'all to remember this. I didn't mean to hit the bomb. That wasn't a bomb moment. That was kind of a shot moment. But, you know, we're getting used to the new sounds, man. So shout out. There we go, right there.
But see, I don't mind paying welfare, though. Like, even though I think it's limits to it. Like, but you pay welfare for an American citizen, right?
Right.
These are not American citizens. So, like, you know what I'm saying? If it's you're taking my tax dollars for something else. Like, you know what I'm saying? If it's a bum in America, and you know what I'm saying, we got a program for them or whatever, and this is what y'all take my tax dollars and go with, okay, go with it. But this is not even American citizens. You know what I'm saying? This is something crazy. This is your project.
Right.
I'm paying for your project. And then now I'm paying for your project, but I'm also going down the street, and I'm seeing American citizens have nowhere to stand. I'm seeing American citizens getting evicted. I'm seeing American citizens, you know what I'm saying, getting their cars repossessed. You know what I'm saying? I'm seeing American citizens not being able to eat. But you sitting here and you making this safe haven for motherfuckers I don't even know. They don't even speak English. They don't even know what city they in.
Man, I had a girl tell me the other day, I better learn how to speak Spanish. And she said that shit was a straight face. So,
it's going to be the first language of the United States soon.
Yeah, it is. It is. Gee whiz, people.
13,000 migrants have arrived in Chicago, bused and brought in from other states like Texas. The conditions under which many are living described by one migrant today who feared showing his face on camera. In a text to our team, he wrote, "Here we are truly in conditions that are not at all humane. There are many children sick to their stomachs and other things because the food they are being given is not adequate food."
Now, I know you ain't bring your monkey ass over here and start complaining.
Complain.
Really?
Go home. God forgive me.
Golly, really? Now you going to come over here and start complaining, my nigga? Like, you ain't even at the airport, fam.
For complaining, how he get a phone?
Obama phone.
That's a good question.
No, they giving him phone.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They giving him a phone, bro. And he got a phone. This is crazy.
Hey, man.
And sources tell us there are about 180 families or 400 people, half of whom are reportedly children, living here at the airport. We've reached out to several different departments this evening, including the mayor's office, trying to get some answers. We've been passed from pillar to post without any real details on how long these people will be here or what is next in store for them.
Hey, speaking of those people, how long are you going to be here? We need to know where you plan on leaving to.
O'Hare Airport, Ronald Tomasi,
WGN News. How many people are going to be here for how long? You're like, no, how long are you going to be here? Speaking of people, Jesus, man. We living in some sad times, y'all. I'm telling you, a lot of us have a tendency, man, to get scared. We have a tendency to be afraid. And, you know, this is not the time to be afraid. Being afraid is not going to get us anywhere in this situation. It's about time for you to strap up your boots and get ready to fight this system back. I'm not saying go to war or none of that. It's time to strap up your boots. That's all I'll say.
Bro, most people don't care. Check this out. When it come down to it, all black people was mad at Trump for this wall, right? They was raised in hell. You know what I'm saying? Trump racist because he wanna do, you know what I'm saying, laws that stop people that pretty much do what other countries do to us. You know what I'm saying? We just can't get a visa, you know what I'm saying, to these other countries like that. You know what I'm saying? It's a process. But you know what I'm saying? He tried to make it to where it's a process. Everybody deemed him to be racist. And then, okay. But when you looking at it now, this is how America look if you ain't got this. You know what I'm saying? Do we want people to come in our border like this? You know what I'm saying? Just free will it. You know what I'm saying? Do we want people to sit here and take, and we're going to start paying more and more taxes? You know what I'm saying? The American tax system is a hustle.
Yeah.
And we pay for everything. And this is what it is not. We looking at this whole, you know what I'm saying, immigrant situation is what it's going to come to, is what it's going to look like. And then, for the most part, half of Black America is still talking about who Laura Harvey fucking. They're not worried about this.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're gonna get into that. That's the meat of the show tonight. Shout out to No Captivity with Freezy, man. Had a good conversation with them brothers the other day, man, on a nice panel with the World Class. But, yeah, no, most definitely, man. We're going to get into that, man, because, see, that plays into why we've been asleep for so long. And I gotta bring it to the forefront. It's been brought to the forefront on several occasions by several different content creators. But tonight we're going to start the Mammy RICO proceedings on the Big Mic Drop. This is a racketeering influence corrupt organization, Mammies. And I'm going to prove tonight and discuss why we're part in the situation we're in politically, because we've had a Mammy class that's been put in positions of power and influence that guide us the wrong direction. So, you know, on one hand, they'll be talking about who Lori Harvey fucking with this week. And then on the other hand, they'll be talking about what needs to be in schools and this and that. So you got to watch these people. The Joy Reads, the media apparatus, you know, the Angela Rise, the Simones. Then you got a legal apparatus. You got people like Fani Willis's and these different, you know, politicians that are occupying these positions. Val Demings, Sheila Jackson Lee's, James Clyburn, a mammy. You don't even have to be a woman to be a mammy. You know that, right? Oh, you on mute, Ronnie.
I said I didn't. I thought you had to be a woman to be a mammy.
No, man, we changing the rules. Mammy can be non-binary. Yeah, you can actually be a non-binary mammy. So, yeah, we're going to get into it. But I want to talk about this clown first, man, because while we talking about the immigrants in this section, I do want to talk about Plies. Now, Plies is a dude that made all right music. It wasn't really my cup of tea. A lot of the girls like Plies.
I'm not crazy about his music.
Yeah, I wasn't really crazy about it. Not crazy about the way he enunciates or, you know, pronounces words. I'm just not crazy about him. But Plies has something to tell us about immigrants. So let's see what Mr. Plies got to say. Look, don't expect it to not be ignorant.
Check y'all jobs. What motherfucking jobs? The jobs that nobody don't want. The jobs that everybody think they too motherfucking good for anyway.
Hold on.
The motherfucking people walk 17 motherfucking days. Sleeping motherfucking aluminum foil. For 8-9 motherfucking months. In the rain, sun, every motherfucking thing. Swim across the motherfucking Atlantic Ocean. Just the motherfucking come over here to provide a motherfucking service. And y'all don't want a motherfucking over here? You're supposed to be greeting the motherfuckers at the border with motherfucking old moms if you're like me. Need to be throwing them a motherfucking immigrant day. Y'all gave motherfucking Christopher Columbus a motherfucking day. And he's the biggest motherfucking thug in American motherfucking history. And you want me to motherfucking believe that they coming over here taking your motherfucking job. The reason y'all scared of the motherfuckers coming over here is the fact that they gonna come over here and show people what hard work really motherfucking is. That's what y'all privileged motherfuckers scared on. I ain't never heard no motherfucking hood talking about no motherfucking immigrant took their motherfucking job. I ain't heard that motherfucking scribble. I ain't never heard a motherfucker say, I went to King of Diamonds and they didn't give me the job, they gave me the Israel. I ain't motherfucking heard that. Not motherfucking me. But y'all want a motherfucker to believe every time a motherfucking election coming around, oh, y'all motherfucking scared of the immigrant, the motherfucking boogeyman. But the whole motherfucking time they cut your motherfucking grass and cleaning your motherfucking house, you ain't asking them people they got a motherfucking green card or pink card or none of that shit.
His voice aggravates the hell out of me. That nigga voice way too high to be a man. Shout out to Plies, so-called FBA with Colombian teeth. Them big ass veneers he got in his mouth, man. You know he went to Colombia and got some shit done. So he pro immigrant. He wants you to have teeth like that too, Ronnie.
Uh-uh.
You too, Mr. Logic. You too can have some big ass teeth.
Nah, I'm good, my nigga.
Man, but look, man. These are the people that have influence. Plies has how many subscribers? I'm sure over a million.
Yeah, he does, I'm sure.
He has over a million subscribers. More people subscribe to him on social media than they bought his records. I don't think Plies is ever playing platinum. But
what he's saying is double talk. He's trying to say, like, the white people were because these Mexicans taking their job. No. These ain't no doctors coming over here. Ain't no dentists coming over here. You know what I'm saying? Right. It's everyday workers. So now if you look at the black population, he's so stupid that he don't realize that they coming over here taking, you know what I'm saying, a majority of black people jobs. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, if you look at the construction scene in Atlanta, bro, you know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, before I went to the military, it was all niggas out there working and shit on the construction sites.
Right.
Bro, I went back in Atlanta. Ain't that but Mexicans.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? My brother worked construction. He was like, man, these Mexicans fucking up the goddamn job. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, like I said, I agree with him to an extent that a lot of these white companies is taking advantage of it because they can get labor for cheaper. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got to get them no 401k. You ain't got to get them no medical. You know what I'm saying? You can just pay them pennies under the table.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it's still affecting the black community more than it's affecting the white community. You want to be honest with you? It's benefiting the white people more than the black people.
Hey, look, I'm going to try to use it to my benefit as much as possible. Because I ain't going to lie to these niggas that built my fence. Not good, bro. And I'm going to tell you from real experience.
It wasn't good?
It was not good.
You must got some Mexicans who been over here for a while.
I'm talking about the black people that built the fence. I got the Mexicans coming to fix the motherfucker. So, I'm just going to be honest about that.
Dude, I mean, it's a fact to it, though. Like, but I'm just saying, I get that they will always work harder. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, just that, but that's life. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, America, we is privileged, but you know what? We deserve to be privileged. We're Americans.
I mean, the hard work was put in the beginning by us, black Americans and Native Americans. The hard work was already laid down years and years ago. We're talking about what they're doing now is shit we were doing centuries ago. So we have evolved.
I agree that we got black Americans, we lazy now. You know what I'm saying? I get that part. But what you going to do, replace us? You know what I'm saying? Replace us with some immigrants to do some, you know what I'm saying? Hey, look, you know what? If you ever get your car washed by a Mexican, that's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. You know what I'm saying? That car wash will last for like a month. And I don't know how they do it, but they do it.
Right.
And I appreciate it, but at the end of the day, at what cost?
Right. When you could keep a one of us in business, they're just gonna do it half ass a little bit though. You might have to go every 2 weeks.
Yeah, and it's their business model. When I was on LaPeace, man, I was just bringing this shit up all the time. That the impact of this, what is it doing to the American economy? And like I said, people say they're in America, they don't care, but you live here, so you gotta care.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying? Just like people taking sending jobs overseas. You know what I'm saying? Call AT&T or call Comcast tomorrow and see what you'll get connected to. It's insane. You know what I'm saying? You're going to be in Venezuela. You're going to be in Colombia. You're going to be somewhere. You know what I'm saying? And who's getting rich off of that model?
You know who is. The corporation.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Say the corporation's getting rich.
I know. And then so now if they get rich and plus, like I said, the key thing is I talk about a lot, I used to talk about it, I don't really talk about it no more. But that money is no longer rotating in our communities. You know what I'm saying? Our dollars being spread all over the world and it's stimulating other economies. So now when you have a system like that, well, yeah, it's good to get these messages to cut your grass and stuff like that, but at the end of the day, is it worth it?
What are you – at what cost? Like you said, at what cost are you really getting it done at? Because you're going to permanently put somebody else out of business. They're here to put other people out of business.
Yeah, and I agree that dudes need to sit here and they need to apply themselves more. You know what I'm saying? They need to be, you know what I'm saying? They need to actually, you know what I'm saying, think about customer service and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying black people is free of this. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you know me, I mean, hey, I'm hard on niggas. And I'm hard on niggas because they need to step their game up. But this right here is a fast track of putting niggas in a bad situation that they ain't going to be able to get out for a long time. And especially with new equity policies, you know what I'm saying? You're no longer the minority as a black person in America. So now you can't sit here and say, hey, look, we want this, we want this. Minority policies don't affect you no more. You know what I'm saying? You got Venezuela Americans now.
That's
yeah, they're a minority. They like what? 0.5% of the population?
Hey, but I'll say this. If you feed them after midnight, they'll become 2% literally overnight. don't give them motherfuckers no water and feed them after midnight, bro. That's all I'm saying. My bad, man. I'm sorry. I'm being ridiculous. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm not trying to be overly offensive, overtly offensive. I'm sorry. But I remember you off Lapeef Logic. I when you said Lapeef, I'm like, that's where I know Logic from. We were on a show, a couple of little panels together beforehand. That shit got kind of wild.
Yeah, it got wild, man. I got tired of talking about just dick and pussy wig. Just like I said, it's stuff like this that'll never make the show that black people still should be talking about it. And then, you know what I'm saying? But like I said, we're ready to talk about Laura Harvey, Halle Berry, who's fucking who. You know what I'm saying? Who said this about relationship and that? Sometimes it's not, you know what I'm saying, it's not progressive. You at a standstill. You know what I'm saying? And then if pretty much all black channels now are talking about relationships and all this shit going on.
Yeah, everything is that's kind of why I jumped out of the whole black manosphere thing in YouTube, because it's way more things that men should be discussing.
Mm-hmm.
And we should be discussing these things with women, you know, the women we're married to, the women we're related to, and, you know, the women in our family and even in our social circles. It's things we should be discussing because we have to go into the future, bro. We can't just stay here. You can't put us, you know, throw us in the air and we get stuck here. So we're going to continue to go into the future. Our population is up 30%. Did you hear that?
Our population at 30%?
Our population has gone up 30%.
And 30% of the American population? I thought it was 13.6.
No, our population has gone up 30%. So if we were like 46, 47 million. They still keep trying to keep us in the 40s. But I really think that it's probably closer to about 70 million black people in the United States of America.
Hmm.
And that's not counting immigrants. Absolutely. You got to think 13% means that one out of every 10 people you see is black. Has that ever been your experience in America?
Well, yes. Because
I ain't talking about Montana, nigga.
Nah, I'm saying you got to realize that you in Georgia, right?
I'm in Georgia, but I've been to Alabama, California, Florida, Texas, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia. You know what I mean?
Okay, so you should know, you should be versed in this though, that outside of the city, it's sprinkles of black people. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you can go to Charleston, Columbia, Atlanta, Savannah. You know what I'm saying? But outside of that, you know what I'm saying, you don't see a strong presence of black people. You know what I'm saying?
I think most of us live in rural areas. I'm from a rural area. I think most of us live in rural areas. I think that's been the misconception. Because the South is mostly rural. Now, if you look at – so let's look at Atlanta, for instance, right? They say Atlanta has about 2.5 million black people. in Atlanta itself. So does that mean that Atlanta has about, what, 5% of the nation's black people? That don't even make sense.
You bring up a good point. I get what you're saying. Because, yeah, the math ain't math.
The math ain't math on that.
Yeah, but I don't think that, like, even like in Atlanta, right, you know what I'm saying, you get outside the 285, you know what I'm saying, the black people you see, especially like, you know what I'm saying, you get like north of Sandy Springs, you're going to see black people, but now the calculations are going to start adding to what you're talking about, like with the percentage, you know what I'm saying, you'll start seeing like one or two of people that you're running to will be, you know, not, I mean, 2 out of 10 is black people. You'll see that. You know what I'm saying? I lived in Colorado Springs when I was in the military. And then once I got outside Denver, Aurora, Pueblo, and Colorado Springs, I would start seeing them numbers like that. I lived in Huntsville. You know what I'm saying? I worked at NASA in Huntsville.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing.
No,
you know what I'm saying? Oh, go ahead.
You say Huntsville was like that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, once I got outside,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I like to drive. So, like, once you get outside, you'll start saying, yo, Virginia, too. You know what I'm saying? Get outside of that DMV area. You know what I'm saying? You're going to see black people going to exist. But especially in Virginia, you be in towns where, you know what I'm saying, they low-key looking at you like you crazy.
I've been a couple of places like that. I've been just a few places like that, but most places I go to, you know, with substantial populations, you'll just say 30,000 and up, then black people are usually, you know, highly represented or fairly represented, and it's not to the tune of 1 out of 10. So
you can look at the Democratic Republican voter bloc in Georgia, and you get outside of Atlanta, Savannah, them Valdosta and all of the major cities, and you'll start seeing it turn red.
Yeah, but turning red doesn't necessarily mean it's not black people.
Well, it does. It's changing now, but you know what I'm saying? Normally, you know what I'm saying, we were just raised to be Democrats. You know what I'm saying? I was claiming Democrat before I even know what a damn Democrat was. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I would just say, hey, look, Democrat right, you know what I'm saying, Republican racist. You know what I'm saying? I was raised like that.
We call that default Democrat.
Yeah.
Democrat by default if you were black. Born in a certain period of time. I think that time is up now. Hold on one sec, man. We got the world class in the building. Shout out to you, fam.
Hey.
Yeah, man. Look, man, good conversation going tonight. I want to go ahead and flip into this mammy situation. Are y'all ready to do that, man? I want to take about a 2-minute break, intermission. Then I want to get into the mammy situation. And like we always do, this is a Fire Your History Teacher show. Whenever I wear this shirt, means we're getting ready to kind of go back and teach a little bit, because I think there are some things that have been misconstrued about us in this country and about mammies as well. So if y'all stick with us, man, we're going to be back in about 2 minutes. You going to stick with us, Logic?
Yeah, man, I'm kicking it. You know what I'm saying? It's 3 o'clock in the morning here, so I'm drinking my coffee. That's crack.
That's crack, man. So, all right, we'll be back in a few moments, okay? Mike, Rock. Rock. All right, man, my bad, man. Welcome back, man. Back to the mic. Look, I had to go change to a short sleeve shirt, y'all.
Got hot?
Yeah, it got hot up in here, man. I told you the temperature went from like 17 degrees last week to, you know, 70 degrees today, and it's raining and wet, so it's a little humid as well. So
mm-hmm.
My bad. Appreciate y'all's patience with the break. But tonight,
girl, you seem like you was hotter than Fatty Willis.
Yo, man, Fanny got new shit going on right now. And, you know, I've been on Fanny's neck for about the past 2 weeks now. I don't like what Fanny Willis represents. I don't know her as a person, so I'm not going to sit up and say I don't like her. But I don't like what she's done in her current position, if that makes sense. Which is kind of leading me to a conclusion that I probably wouldn't like her if I happen to meet her, but, you know, I don't know her. But Fannie Willis is back in trouble, man. She's the state senate in Georgia has decided that they're going to conduct an investigation into this situation herself. And I got the news story right here. I always like to back everything up with receipts. You don't have to
go the Republican-led state senate.
But I'm going to tell you, they love showing this picture of her, man. This picture makes her look like Darth Vader. But they love making her look pretty bad on this picture with her boyfriend behind her. But check this out. Fannie Willis back in trouble again with them folks. Here we go.
Ago, the Republican-led state Senate on a party-line vote approved the forming of a special investigative panel to look into Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis's office. The panel would have subpoena power designed to get answers about what Republicans say is a conflict of interest in the DA's office. 11 Alive's Doug Richards has more on today's decision.
Republicans in the Georgia Senate are going after an allegation made in a court filing that Fulton District Attorney Fannie Willis has had a self-dealing relationship with a well-paid special prosecutor hired to carry a criminal case against former President Donald Trump.
It becomes more and more clear this was prosecution for personal profit.
Republicans want to use the special committee's subpoena power to get answers to questions.
First and foremost, they want to act like they don't do that shit. but we'll continue.
Fulton County DA has declined to answer so far about her relationship with Trump prosecutor Nathan Wade. Records show Willis's office has paid Wade more than $680,000. The judge in the case has scheduled a hearing on that very question.
We know there are motions already. That's why we know about the allegations that have been made that will be resolved by the court. So we have a process that is already going to deal with the substance of these allegations.
Democrats argued the Senate already has an ethics committee that could issue subpoenas and investigate the Fulton case. Republicans said it's technically about investigating state tax dollars, which help fund Willis's office.
This has to do with following state funds. We want to know where our money is going.
Predictably, the Senate voted on a party-line vote to form the investigative committee, which will consist of a sizable majority of Republican senators.
All right, man. So you see what the lick is reading. The writing's on the wall. Fannie Willis is probably going to have to
drop. Today's developments out of the Georgia General Assembly are adding to the pile of answers.
She's probably going to have to drop.
Hmm.
She's probably going to have to drop. So even if the case does continue, she's not going to be able to take the credit and the glory for the case continuing. One thing that mammies don't realize, and Fanny is a mammy. I have to call her Fanny. I know her name is Fanny, but Fanny and mammy go together. So we got Fanny the mammy. We got Kamammy Harris. Who else we got? What other mammies we got?
Who else we got?
That press secretary.
Oh, yeah, Kareem Jean-Pierre Mammy, Haitian Mammy, Haitian Press Mammy, and who else? Who else we got?
They all over. They every major city got a Mammy Mayor.
Hey, Mammy Mayors, out for their own pleasure, out for their own self-aggrandizement, and they are messing up democracy.
Lakeisha Lance Bottom.
Hey, well, Keisha, man. I was impressed with her in the beginning when I got here, But after that riot, when she got up there talking about, yeah, got your brown liquor, and she was going off on black folks, and soon them white folks started coming out of that McCormick and Schmick's downtown, breaking in, stealing all the liquor, and started showing white kids jump out of there, they cut the cameras.
Man, she was a mammy when she got T.I. and Killer Mike to get in there and speak on them George Floyd riots.
And Killer Mike was a mammy for crying. Like, all these niggas crying, all of this stuff going on. Look, man, this is what we're dealing with. We know what we're dealing with. Now, I understand the frustrations were running high at that point in time, but that's not the time to cry, especially when you're in front of everybody. Van Jones was crying. Killer Mike was crying. Roland Martin crying. We look up to the people that are supposed to be our heroes. All these niggas crying. So that's how people like myself started speaking out. That's just the truth of the matter. That's how people like myself started speaking out. I'm not going to get up here and cry. Ain't nothing to cry about. But mammies don't understand this. And I'm going to show you that when these folks are done with you, when you're a tool, they break that tool when they're finished working with you. And what you're watching right now is Fannie Willis being broken. And she's going to be broken. She's not going to be able to make it past this. Miss Amber said that was all the same day, the brown liquor comment, the T.I. Killer Mike press conference. Yeah, that was the same day. She on there acting like everybody mama, and then Killer Mike get up there and start crying. I don't get it. I don't get it. And I like Killer Mike. I'm not, you know, no disrespect to the man, but you know you were crying, nigga. You know you were crying. I don't know why.
Mike said, I don't know why.
I don't know why. But, you know, this is a term that we just throw around. Mammy's not just a term we throw around. It has a historical meaning to it. There's a historical background to this. It starts in slavery, of course, like damn near everything negative in our community right now or in our culture right now. But I do feel like the people need to know who is Mammy. So I pulled up an article. It was actually a pretty good article. You know, it was a critical review of the novel of The Help. The name of the article is Lack of Diversity in YA, Why the Love for the Mammy Caricature, but none for her children. So they love Mammy, but they don't love Mammy children. You see what I mean? So let me pull this up and get it big enough to where I can read it. There we go. All right. So it starts out with this quote. And let me put it up on the screen. You can read along with me. How about that? Put it up on the screen. One man's mammy is another man's mother. It's a quotation from the movie The Help by Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Wesley Morris, who writes for the Boston Globe. But this goes on to show pictures, the asexual solitary mammy, which is why Fannie realized, and then we'll get to that. So the caricature of a mammy is asexual. It's supposed to be a woman who has no sexual desires, who's not sexually desirable. So you see why the pressure would be on somebody like Fannie to find a man in her profession, somebody that's under her control. Because without that, she would probably be the asexual, undesirable, unsexual mammy, just due to her job and her position. So the mammy or the black mammy is a stereotype so beloved in American history that her origin is rarely chronicled or disputed. When Aunt Jemima beamed at Americans from the pancake mix box on grocery shelves, many felt reassured by her broad smile that she and her product were dependable. She was everyone's mammy, the faithful slave who was content to cook and care for whites, no matter how grueling the labor, because she loved them. The far-reaching image of the nurturing black mother exercises a tenacious hold on the American imagination. So Mickey McKelia examines why we cling to mammy. She argues that the figure of the loyal slave has played a powerful role in modern American politics and culture, loving, hating, pitying, and pining for the mammy because a way for Americans to make sense of the shifting economic, social, and racial realities. Assertions of black people's contentment with servitude alleviated white fears while reinforcing racial hierarchy. African-American resistance to this notion was varied, but often placed new constraints on black women. Michaela's stories of faithful slaves exposed the power and reach of the myth, not only in popular advertising, films, and literature about the South, but also in national monument proposals, child custody cases, white women's minstrelsy, new Negro activism, anti-lynching campaigns, and the civil rights movement. The color line and the vision of interracial motherly affection that helped maintain it have persisted into the 21st century. If we are to reckon with the continuing legacy of slavery in the United States, Michaela argues, we must confront the depths of our desire for Mammy and recognize its full racial implication. So just a little background on who Mammy was throughout slave times. Slave images. Let's click for a larger view here. So we got Mammy here. Let's see what Mammy telling the kids. Oh, I so glad to see you has come. Master says he wish you was in the bottom of the sea. What did it say? In the bottom of the sea. You ain't in the bottom of the sea. You is here. Oh, yes. It's glad to see you. So, you know, I can't even speak like this.
What the fuck, man?
This is what it is, man. And I'm gonna tell you how you know that it's something that people, especially liberals, pine for. Now, this is, you're getting into liberal racism now. This isn't the conservatives. This is going to be the liberal racist. And you're going to start seeing the liberal racist because of the way they use black women. Not just black women. Unattractive black women. For real.
I think she's pretty decent looking, you know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, fairly decent. I mean, she's not an ugly woman.
Yeah, but I would refer to her as a house nigga. You see what I'm saying?
That's Mammy.
Like, and it, I mean, I think Obama was the first one, you know what I'm saying? He was a black face to do bidding for, you know what I'm saying, a bigger entity, and then that's what Fannie Willis doing. Because can you imagine the Young Thug trial with a white person doing that? What are the first thing people gonna say?
Racism,
right?
Right.
So yeah, they put it there, and then, you know, so black people can't claim racism. So how can you claim racism when you've been hit by the whip by another black person? So it can't be racism. So you got to come at another angle.
No,
that's the same thing.
That's why. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut in, but that's why it's important that you identify the Mammy. You see?
Yeah, I think you should identify, like I said, is right. Like, I hated Obama, man. You know what I'm saying? And I was in the military, so I just really couldn't say nothing about it. But I hated him because his policies it did nothing for black people. You see what I'm saying? Everybody, but he can get away with doing that because you can't call racism. Racism is a word that we always say, hey, look, we easily can identify with and say, hey, look, they doing this anti-black shit, and then they're white, they doing it because they're racist. Now they strategically putting these people up here to do crazy shit, especially that press house secretary. And I don't mean to be jumping around, but if you look at the stuff she say and do, you can't say nothing because people just identify with you as racist off the rip. You can't critique her. You can't say nothing.
Yeah, she's Haitian, though.
But they still look at her as black. They don't care.
But see, we don't look at her as black. That's the thing about it. Like, and that's what I'm saying. I understand what you're saying. But what I'm saying is now that these people are starting to be identified, you can start applying racism to them as well, too. It's not.
Yeah,
just
but do you think the average black person is looking at Fannie like that?
No, but that's why I'm here.
Oh, okay.
That's why I'm here, too. Yeah, that's why I'm here, because we need to start identifying these people. So let's go with this. Look at this. Look at this image, man. It's a powerful image. Mammy and child.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know that ain't Mammy's child.
Sure ain't.
But look at the caption. How misguided can it be to tell black mothers that they're only appreciated because they knew to put white children first, and yet their offspring holds so much, no such worth, at least not enough to be cast as either love interest or main protagonist in books or movies in this new post-racial society. So when Fannie Willis first got in office, first thing she did was made a way for those cops that shot Rashard Brooks to get off, which is why they had the riot, why Killer Mike was crying, why Keisha Lance Bottoms was mammy, and T.I. was just up there looking like they got him out of bed. Probably with somebody. But, but no, this stems back to the same riot that we're talking about when they busted in the CNN building and everything, when Rashard Brooks was killed. First thing Fannie Willis did was recuse herself from that case as the new DA, and then she let those cops go. She didn't necessarily sign the paperwork for them to go, but her not standing in the way as a vanguard to what she knew our interests were in that situation was equivalent to her signing off on them being released. She knew what she was doing. And she took that up and got rid of that burden to go after Young Thug, YFN Lucci. And then when the Trump thing came up, that was just, you know, that was her bread and butter. That was supposed to get her to Washington, D.C.
But I got a question for you, man. What do you think about if they put a mammy as the president of the United States?
No.
You know how much chaos going to rain on us?
No. Like I told people, man, if you want to see what a mammy-run society looks like, go to your nearest housing project. Go to your nearest housing project. You'll see what a mammy-run society looks like. Under no circumstances. I'm not saying intelligent black women. I'm not saying this about intelligent black capable women who are on code first and foremost. You got to be on code with what we got first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
But see, the ones that are on code aren't going to be able to rise up the ranks like the mammies. They use the
but that's what's going to happen, though, because, see, this picture still stands to be true. Because now, even though they're not creating a white baby, they still creating these policies.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then they doing the bidding, so now you can't classify them as being racist. You got to be more strategic. You got to be, you know what I'm saying, more capable to sit here and display why you hate this person. But most black people don't get into politics. They don't get into these issues like that. So now they're going to let it go because they get hit by the whip by somebody that look like them.
Right.
So they'll let it go with Fannie. Nobody talk about how bad Fannie Willis about doing this whole, you know what I'm saying, YSL stuff. You know what I'm saying? Nobody even talking about the whole Donald Trump situation, which I think is a bunch of, I don't know, it's a bunch of bull. But the bigger thing now is that I think they finna put Michelle Obama in the White House.
Who finna put Michelle Obama in the White House?
Man, I'm telling you, she coming out of nowhere, bro.
I've been hearing inklings about Michelle Obama trying to run, but I don't think the Obama's got enough political capital anymore.
But do you think she could do a good job, Mike? I think she could do a good job.
I don't think she could do a good job.
You don't?
No, because her husband didn't do a good job. And she.
But they always did say she was smarter than him.
Ain't no such thing. You ain't.
What
you
mean
ain't
no such thing?
You're not laying up under somebody you smarter than.
Could be. I mean.
Well,
what's your name, man?
We're both very intelligent people.
Oh, this is Ronnie LaDue, man. This is my co-host.
How you doing, Reddit? Why would you think that she'll do a good job?
Very intelligent. First of all, I think a person that's intelligent enough, if they have the experience and the right training and the right people with them, they can do a good job. And I think she's one of those people.
All right. So do you think this mammy on this picture right here, she lacks intelligence?
I'm not saying she lacks intelligence, but she lacked opportunity at the time. Because that's all she was able to do was be a slave. That's all she was allowed to do.
No, but the thing is that is a lot of times when you do the bidding, this lady wasn't a bad lady. You know what I'm saying? This lady wasn't unintelligent, but this lady did bidding for not the people who she had in her best interest. She did the bidding for the House best interest. And that's the same thing if you get a Michelle Obama in there, the same thing we got with Barack Obama. But I think they will push the bar even more because now you got two levels of equality when you have a Michelle Obama. You got a female and she's black. So now they can push so much stuff through her that we will just let go.
But you don't think she's strong enough to resist?
I don't think
Hell no.
She's not strong enough to resist, and I don't think she would want to resist. The people that are trying to push, the people that have been trying to make black women and black men two separate species politically have been the liberals. This hasn't been Republicans. Republicans don't do shit for black people, period. Liberals only do stuff for black women, and they leave black men stuck on the fritz. So they're still just as racist. But you know what I'm saying? So it would be one of those things where soon as Michelle Obama took office, she would immediately be co-opted by the LGBT community and the damn white feminist movement.
Oh, stop, Mike.
I promise you.
So let me ask you a question. If it was up against Michelle Obama and Donald Trump, who would you go with?
Me? Trump.
Me too. I like Michelle, but I would definitely go with Donald.
I'll go with Trump.
And a lot of people had, you know, felt like he, a lot of people that were against him in the first time he ran for presidency, now they're saying that they would be for him.
You're looking at one. I got shows, and I purposely didn't take my shows down. Because, look, I have the right to reinvent myself. I have the
right
to re-evolve. And as I get new information, I could take new positions. That's my right. Nobody's ever going to stop me from doing that. That's why I kept the old shit up there. Yeah, I voted for Joe Biden. I didn't like Trump in the beginning, but after looking at that and making that mistake, I'm not doing that shit again.
But see, you got to ask yourself this. How do we judge if a person is fit to be a president?
Same way you judging how she's not. Just have to be discernment.
No, well, see, we can't vote for a president off of discernment. We can vote off a president for their policies and their proposed policies. I'll give you an example, right? The Ice Cube Plan for Black America, right? It got remixed to the Donald Trump Platinum Plan, right?
Right.
That was proposed legislation, correct?
Yeah, proposed legislation, yes.
Yes. What was the proposed legislation for Kamala Harris and Biden?
Nothing.
Well, the exact words was, hey, look.
The lift every voice plan.
We'll get into office and then we'll talk about it once we get in office, right?
Right.
And it, as we see, he's like, what, 3 years in, 3.5 years in? We haven't heard nothing about it, right?
Never had that conversation.
Exactly. So now the same thing with Michelle Obama is that I would rather have somebody that I perceive. See, look, the only reason I like Trump is that, you know what? Trump is a people pleaser. Trump actually care what people think about him. So he would actually listen. He would actually go ahead and say, look, let me have these black people in here and let's talk about this. You know what I'm saying? Let's do this. Let's do this. Michelle Obama would not be obligated to do that because you will always give her the benefit of the doubt because she's black. She has nothing to prove to you.
And she's not going to prove it.
Like that's not necessarily true. I hold everybody to a high standard, so she would have to prove herself to me. Right now, I give her the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, but I say we got to stop giving her the benefit of the doubt. We got to start asking her, hey, what is your position? You know what I'm saying? If you're going to sit here and say black people should vote for you, I need to know why. Why should black people vote for you, right? And don't tell me no Joe Biden little story and say you should just vote for me, but you know what I'm saying, that if you ain't black, if you don't vote for me, it's nothing that's ever proposed to black people. And the only reason I got on the Trump train because it was a proposal for black people. We never seen that before. The civil rights movement wasn't a proposal for black people. It was a proposal for all Americans.
Right. I didn't like the whole Ice Cube thing, I ain't gonna lie. Because of the timing of it, I read the Platinum Plan, not the Platinum Plan, the Contract for Black America. I read it on the show. It was like 27 pages. We went through all 27 pages. Had a lot of trick language in there. started talking about Native Americans and all type of other shit, you know, people that already got their just due.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was co-opting a lot of things. And then I had a problem with Ice Cube for going on Bill Maher and forgiving Bill Maher on behalf of black people for saying he was a house nigga. I didn't like that. I didn't like that at all. Bill Maher is a racist liberal. Very racist. And I didn't like the fact that Cube went on there and, you know, gave him that pass. They brought Cube on there because Cube was supposed to be hard on him, but he wasn't. He just forgave him. I think Cube's affect, Cube is real dull. Cube doesn't know how to really sell stuff. He's real, he just, like, he would rather be somewhere else. You know what I mean?
But I would give him credit, though, because, I mean, regardless, like I said, I don't agree, like, his plan for a back America, it was incomplete, and I give him that, right? But it was a start. He started something. He started a conversation, but is it weird that that conversation have never been brought back up?
It hasn't been brought back up since Trump lost.
And that's it. And that's my whole thing. Like, if you sit here and say, I want somebody to sit here and say, hey, look, you know what? I know black people exist. So now this is my proposal for you. They have proposals for everything else. They have proposals for Asians. They have proposals for LTG, that group. They got proposals for even immigrants. And not once do they ever have any type of proposal for black people. And I think, like I say, if the right people get to Donald Trump, he would listen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Unlike any other person. Michelle Obama is not going to sit here and come out and say, hey, I got a proposal for black people. Her husband did. 8 years.
All he
never had one proposal.
And all he's going to tell you is what we don't understand about politics. Well, what you don't understand. See, then all of a sudden, when you start trying to hold him accountable, then it's we ignorant. You know what I mean? That's what I didn't like about his approach, Obama's approach. And I feel like him and his wife probably share ideology, if nothing else.
It's possible.
Yeah, so I just wouldn't even go back down that direction. I'm not voting for Sasha, Malia, no Obama. I vote for none of the motherfuckers. I'm not. So, hey, look, I'll vote for Ivanka Trump before I vote for them, any of them other folks.
Are y'all being unfair towards Michelle just because y'all didn't really care for the way Obama ran the country?
Yeah. Same reason we were unfair to Hillary.
I would be that way to Michelle if you actually read her book and you see her position.
Oh, I haven't read her book. Did you read her book?
Yes, I read it. It's horrible.
It's horrible?
Well, I'm not saying it's horrible. Like, no. It's horrible. Because you understand her position. You know what I'm saying? It's like, look, liberal position is not thinking about black people. Liberal position is thinking about putting black women in position, which will end up destroying the black family. So when you read a book and you see all these liberal positions, you see, you know what I'm saying, just listen to her talk. If you listen to her talk, you know what I'm saying, she was talking more about LTBG than she'll talk about the black nuclear family. You know what I'm saying? You'll see other people talk about why the black nuclear family or why the black race is struggling in America. Because, you know what I'm saying, we got a problem with our relationships and our family. But they don't talk about that. They'll talk about giving these small groups these rights and benefits. But when we was a small group, we didn't get no rights and we didn't get no benefits. So like I said, if you vote for her, just understand she would not be representing you. She would not take a special interest in representing you along with her husband.
Her goal would be to create a mammy class. So basically what he's saying is, like, the reason that the black family is not a priority anymore goes back to this saying on this screen that we saw. It's not a priority because we've been infiltrated by a class of mammies. You got a class of people that's going to keep everybody else in line. And it goes both sides. You got rich mammies, you got poor mammies. It's all across the board. You got men
with
mammies with no power. Right, they get benefits. They empower them to continue to be mammies. So, like, just take, let's go back to the, let's just go to the poor side. Let me show you a mammy. I want to show you a mammy. How about that? Can we do that? Let me just show you a situation of a mammy. So, let's just find this girl here. Let me get this off of here. I'm getting a little bit better with my StreamYard. I had an issue with, I want to show y'all a mammy. Now, this is mammyism. You might not think it's mammyism because it's so ghetto. But no, this is quintessential, the epitome, I'm sorry, of mammyism. So check this out. All right, it's buffering for a minute. But it's, here we go.
He came in here
without
that jacket on. Yeah, he need, obviously.
That baby just had a pimple on. I can't.
I
don't do that. Somebody call police.
No, what's wrong with you?
Somebody call police on her.
Who are you? Lower my voice.
Get out that man. Get out that man's face, please.
You're crazy.
What the hell? Somebody call the police on her.
Go ahead, since you've already been called two times, I keep passing on. You got hot water, fire extinguisher.
But when you come in the store fully dressed and your baby's nice.
Now, I'm going to call the cops right now.
How many kids do you got?
I got one.
Call the cops right now.
Oh, okay. So, it's in that
Miami.
So, you're sorry, okay? You're in the
She's just sad. That's
a
sad.
That's a family. So that hold on. That is the flip side of the same coin of mammy. So the ghetto mammy, what she's gonna do, and they still got the baby. The baby ain't got no clothes on. The baby diaper messed up. Everything, and it's freezing cold outside. This woman got a whole outfit on with some boots with some Mexican flags on the back of them. And the Walmart employee is now giving the child some clothes. But what kind of child do you think, what kind of man do you think he's going to grow up to be? Being raised like that by a woman that had him, that cares nothing for him. They're breeders for prison. They breed for prisons. The boys they have, they put them in the system. The girls they have, they continue to be breeders. It's a total mammy plantation system. It's the plantation breeding system. It's just in projects. 8-Ball and MJG said it back in the day. Projects ain't nothing but modern day plantations. They said that. She twerking. She doing all the fuck.
Absolutely no reason.
Fuck. You know what I mean? Like, come on, man. That's mammyism. But then you got another side of mammyism. It's all criminal. It's all criminal. That's why I'm bringing this RICO case against him. But that was one of my exhibits to show that it has nothing to do with social standing. It has nothing to do with economic status. It's a mentality. It's a destructive mentality. And it's going to split our, it's going to continue to split our community apart if we don't do something to stop it.
Do you think we got hold of political capital to do anything about that?
Do we hold the political capital? We hold the political capital to vet these people and not just vote because you look black. I think that's where we've been going wrong. We got political capital. You see what the Democrats are doing now. They need our votes or else they're going to lose. So they're scrounging now. But we got political capital. We just don't have, we're just not sophisticated enough to realize that skin folk ain't kin folk. We like to
But see, the only thing, the reason is like, I agree we're in a position to have the capital, but the thing about it is like, look, just keep it a bean. We're not even talking about it.
I mean,
you know what I'm saying? Everybody mute about everything that's going on.
We're trying, man. I'm trying. I mean, look, I wish I had 4,000 or 5,000 people in the chat right now. And I wish I had hundreds of phone calls so we could talk about it. But unfortunately, this isn't the message that gets boosted.
Yeah, no doubt. Because, I think the deeper thing to it, that when I was using the whole so-called mammy analogy in my perspective, was that she's going to do the bidding for the house. And then now she might get a better serving of food than a regular slave to get. You know what?
Right.
She might have the ability to, you know what I'm saying, go in a big house where the average slave don't have that ability to do. So now what the mammy do is they create a culture for a welfare state. Because if you look at slavery, it's an example of a welfare state. You know what I'm saying? They give you efficient housing, just enough to, you know what I'm saying, exist. It give you efficient food, and it just gives you just the basic necessities you need in life. No, that's what they gave a slave.
But that's a well. That's not welfare because those people had to work for that.
I understand that. But yeah, what I'm saying is my similarities to it is that even though the welfare state, people still got to work for the welfare state.
Well, they pay you not to be productive now. Back then, they didn't pay you to be productive. Now they pay you to not be productive. So it's just turned upside down.
That's a good point. I get it.
You know what I mean? Because here's the deal. I got this thing, man, I want to read tonight before we get out of here, man. I'm big on contemporaries in history when I want to know about something. And President William Howard Taft wrote a speech. And he was a president around 1900, 1900, 19 to 19. I had to look exactly to see when he was a president. But it was late 1800s, early 1900s. He was a president. And he was talking about the condition of the American Negro when he was a president, just 55 years out of slavery. I think it's something worth taking a look at. You know, I don't see why nobody would believe him, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? I think we have a misconception about our condition at a certain point in time in history after slavery. We actually were doing really, really good. Those 50 years after slavery, we were doing really, really well. They had to actually start paying people not to produce. For real. So when we
But they end up paying the women not to produce.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's easy to sit here and infiltrate, you know what I'm saying, our women. That's why you see, I think it's a certain effort to put black women in these positions of leadership in America. I mean when you got the president saying that he's going to put a black woman in president, not the best qualified candidate, you're going to put a black woman in president as vice president, right?
Right.
They get to that point now that, like I said, for her to accept that vice president nomination, she knows she was going to be a mammy.
Oh, yeah.
She knew going into it. And once he said it, he was saying, I'm finna select me a mammy to be the vice president. But no, they don't look at it like that. They look at it like, you know what? Well, guess what? We doing better because we got a goddamn black person in the house. Same concept.
Hey, speaking of that, we're going to dig into Howard University, too, and find out why they got so many mammies coming out of Howard. Why so many mammies graduating out of Howard? What's the curriculum like at Howard? What's going on?
Man, that's a historical black college, bro. I think that if we want to talk about racist, you know what I'm saying? I think the whole concept of a historical black college is racist.
Oh, yeah. It's racist. But it was the response to the system of racism.
Yeah, it was a response, but I'm saying if you asking for equality, then how are you going to, you know what I'm saying, push? You asking to be one, but then you're going to push for segregation. And in historical black colleges was the biggest thing that we pushed for that was segregation.
We didn't push for it. That was what they pushed for. All the historical black colleges are named after white folks. That's what they pushed for. Because they were racist. It wasn't us. But look, I wanna get into what political mammying looks like. So we saw the ghetto mammy. I was gonna try to say the ghetto mammy for last. I didn't wanna start there. But that's the most basic of the bitches. You know what I'm saying? That right there that we just saw. But what we're gonna do is go into what the political mammy who has influence looks like. where she talks to us like. Listen to how this woman talks to us about politics and what we should be doing politically. And this is Ebony K. Williams, who, by the way, I don't even think she's married to a black person, is she? Isn't she the one who daddy was a bus driver who said she would never deal with a bus driver? So you're dealing with a sick individual anyway. So let's go.
I flat out appreciate what the Biden-Harris administration is doing regarding student loan forgiveness. Like any good tactician, they are reading the room. And frankly, they're reading the SCOTUS decision that flat out told them that any broad stroke student loan forgiveness will have to come through Congress. So, executive branch, have a seat. Biden is rightfully pivoting, and he's using the existing tools that are already available to him in order to forgive and provide immediate relief to Americans all across the country. And if you don't think that matters, just because it's not coming in the form of new legislation, frankly, you're missing it. Let me prove it to you. Now, I mentioned a good friend who woke up one morning just last month and got an unsolicited email with the subject line, "Your student loan debt has been forgiven," period. This woman had well over $70,000 of debt erased overnight. And aside from the obvious, she specifically appreciated the fact that when she goes out to buy a home, which she was already planning to do this year, now her debt-to-income ratio will be exponentially more favorable than before this move from our president. She will literally, y'all, be able to buy an entirely different kind of home, one with more space and with more equity, which will immediately put her on track to better establish both her personal wealth and, broadly speaking, help close this black wealth gap that we keep on talking so much about. We do want to do that still, right? Okay, right. And that brings me to my point. A few of our favorite blogs, Hollywood Unlocked, The Jasmine Brand, others, they have posted some true stories of this exact type of student loan forgiveness. And y'all, the comment sections are in shambles. I'm seeing everything from, "It's too late, Biden, go to bed. You're..."
Hey, oh, hold on. My bad. So, you hear this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So she brings up her favorite bloggers, right? Hollywood Unlocked, Shade Room, Jasmine Brand. Now, all of these were the same blogs that promoted the lie that the girl got hit with the brick. That's how the girl got $42,000 on GoFundMe, was from these same blogs.
A lot of money.
Promoting the lies. Know that these people are lying and promoting them. This woman doesn't look sincere, but let's just keep going. And Ebony K. Williams is not married.
Old. To, "We don't care. Get Biden and Kamala out of there. Y'all are all cap." Frankly, I'm just really confused. Didn't the culture say that we wanted student loan forgiveness? Didn't we say that that's what we demanded of this administration?
No.
Because the culture right now is literally getting thousands and sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars forgiven directly because of actions of Biden and Kamala and this administration. But now all of a sudden y'all in the comments talking about it's too late and we don't care?
So black women are the most educated sector of our people. They're also the least served by their education. And I mean that by the time you get out of college with so much debt, by the time you spend $100,000 or $200,000, sometimes even more, in loans to go to college, whatever job you get doesn't really serve you to its maximum capacity.
That's right.
Because you have so much debt behind it. So I understand why that would be important for maybe one sector of the population, student loan debt. That's what we ask for to be forgiven. But that's not what everybody asked for. I think the main thing we asked for was the policing. We asked for the George Floyd Act, right? We wanted something done about the police, because we don't want to turn on TVs and see people get killed by the police. I'm tired of seeing, you know, murder porn starring black people. I'm tired of seeing that.
You call it murder porn?
Yeah, it's murder porn. They snuff films. See, because the reason they show those, not only to get under our skin, but certain people get off by seeing us get hurt. Some people actually get off by that. So Ebony K. Williams can sit up here and act confused. Ebony K. Williams is a mammy. I'm going to go and let you know now. She's not a bad-looking woman or nothing like that. It's not like it used to be. The caricature is totally different from the embodiment of it. It's all about philosophy. And listen to how she's talking to us and telling us who to believe. The Jasmine brand. The same people that will talk about politics and then talk about who Lori Harvey messing with. You know, they just have to have something to talk about. They'll be promoting Nas X's new album on the Jasmine brand. They'll be promoting his video, showing you clips.
That's make it make sense. Because it can't be too late because, I don't know, forgiveness today does not increase your FICO score. It certainly does. So are you telling me that it's too late because the popular political narratives of the culture in this moment is that Biden and them ain't done nothing for black people? So we plan to stay home on our couches or go vote for Trump come November because, you know, Trump did give us a stimmy check? Knock it off. For real. And by the way, Biden also gave us a stimmy check. I digress. Just tell me you don't understand politics or civics without telling me you don't understand politics or civics.
You see what I'm saying? Who is she to talk to us like this?
Exactly.
You know, what makes you so special to talk to us like this? But that's the same thing the Obamas will tell you. When you call them to the carpet about doing something, they're going to run the same play. You just don't understand politics and civics. That's all they're going to tell you. For some reason, we're not sophisticated enough. We're not smart enough.
Just because your favorite radio favorites, yes, I'm talking about Charlamagne and them, say that Biden hadn't done nothing for us, you're going to rock with that so you can feel like a cool kid and a contrarian? Even when
they wanted us to rock with Charlamagne 3 years ago when he was telling us that Biden was going to do something for us. So now when Charlamagne changes up and tells the truth, now Charlamagne is on the outs with the mammy class.
He blackballed.
He blackballed with the mammy class. And I'm going to prove something else. It's going to go a little deeper than this show. Let's keep going.
When the facts, when the actual policy and impact show you and yours something very different, I'm going to just say some of y'all get the political leadership you deserve, and I'm going to leave it right there. But for the rest of us, that actually believe in holding elected officials accountable for the policies that actually improve the state of black America. See, we got to stand in that. And we got to stand in acknowledging, if not applauding, when Biden, Harris, Trump, anybody actually delivers on something we've demanded of them since
So when somebody says that they've done something for black America, name one thing that's been specifically targeted for us. Name anything that's been set aside for black Americans. What she's talking about.
I can name something off the top of my head.
Right. It definitely ain't student loan forgiveness.
Mm-mm.
It's not student loan forgiveness for black Americans. Because you say you got student loans, right?
Yep.
You're a black American, right?
Yes, I am.
Right. Biden didn't deliver.
He did not deliver.
So nothing Ebony K. Williams can tell you is going to change your reality with that.
No, it's not.
But the student loan debt cancellation helps everybody, which means that there is no closing of the wealth gap. If it floats all boats, then the boat that's sitting on a higher level anyway is going to be on a higher level when it goes up.
Mm-hmm.
It's still going to be a wealth gap. It's doing nothing to close the wealth gap. The only thing that can close the wealth gap is tangibles specifically designated for black people. Black American. Because if you do the black people thing, you'll have everybody from the Caribbean and every other black country trying to get
it. That's right.
They'll have their hands out trying to get it.
Duration. And y'all know I've had my doubts that this administration would do anything significant around student loan debt, especially when their initial efforts were overly broad and deemed unconstitutional. Those failed. But this is the kind of stuff I love being wrong about. This administration worked around it. For that, I salute them for their success. And I have to say this to the black electorate. Say what you mean and mean what you say. Because come November 5th, know that it's not a game.
Yeah, so that's Ebony K. Williams, ladies and gentlemen. Ridiculous. Mammyism. Total mammyism. And like I said, she can't tell you anything that they've really done for you, so she got to try to dig in and say that it's some kind of student loan debt. We're so all supposed to be happy with that. We're all supposed to be happy with that. We're supposed to go for that. I could keep going. I mean, I got mammy story after mammy story. We got the Fulton County commissioner just got the city sued for sexual discrimination. Mammy. She putting trackers on the nigga car and listening in on his conversations and stalking his whereabouts. And it's somebody it works for.
And somebody else husband too, right?
No, I don't think he was married. No, this is somebody totally different. This is another person totally different.
Okay.
Yeah. So when you have these people that go on these shows and have this influence and power, right? And they'll promote those messages. Ebony K. Williams was real strong and bold in how she was talking to us on that last message. But if Ebony K. Williams happens to get fired from a position, then what will Ebony K. Williams' story be? We just heard Angela Rye, who was happy as hell on CNN until she got fired. She was tinsel crotch. She would take anything they said to her until she got fired. Then it became a problem. Well, your girl who's on the podcast with Angela Rye, Tiffany Cross is back with the same situation. Same situation. And it's strange that they're both on the same podcast. MSNBC host Tiffany Cross slams the network executives for alleged mistreatment. I was spoken to in the most condescending ways. So here we go. Former MSNBC host, and this is the Jasmine Brand, trusted blog. Former MSNBC host Tiffany Cross is opening up about the horrible way she was allegedly treated while with the network. As previously reported, in November 2022, MSNBC made the abrupt decision to cancel Tiffany Cross's weekend series, The Cross Connection, after nearly a two-year run because Tiffany Cross could not deliver the black vote. She couldn't get the black people on their side. Man, we got Wanda Hollins in the building. What's happening with you? Allegedly, the firing had to do with the political analyst's candid commentary made on the series elsewhere, on the series and elsewhere. After she was let go, Tiffany Cross released a statement sharing that she was disheartened by the shocking news, but her work is not done. She added, political violence is increasing. And it's becoming inherently more dangerous to speak the truth. But after more than 20 years in journalism, I will not stop. The attacks on me from other outlets and former hosts will never control my narrative. So during the latest episode of her podcast, Native Land Pod, which she hosts alongside Angela Rye and Andrew Gillum, Cross elaborated on the alleged frequent pushback she received from executives at her former network, she reportedly said. I want you to all know every single week from the start of my show to the very last show I did, it was a battle. It was a battle to cover the things that I wanted to talk about. The network's philosophy was Trump, Trump, Trump. They wanted me to be a part of the echo chamber and continue. No, she was part of the echo chamber because at the end of the day, you did talk about what these folks wanted you to talk about. Just like Angela Rye kept that job throughout the mistreatment without ever speaking up over it. And it never became a problem until you didn't have a job. As long as those people were paying you to run the narrative, you were running the narrative. This is what I'm talking about, having mammies in influential places with this mentality. Like, if you're not, we can't get behind you. We don't expect our women to save the world, especially at the end of the day when you're going to turn around and then cry victim. Stop jumping out in the front. You see what I mean? Stop jumping out in the front like you want to lead the charge, only to cry victim at the end of the day. That's mammyism. And I don't like these sisters doing that to themselves. I really don't. And I definitely don't like what it's doing to us or doing for us. It's a lot of noise out here. You're going to hear a lot of people that's going to try to shame you into voting for these people.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to try to scare you into voting for these people. I showed you what they put up last week, which was sick, totally sick. But this is what they put up last week. So now they're going to threaten you to vote. They're going to scare you into voting for Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
And when they get in the, and when they get in power, they're going to do something for everybody except for you.
Exactly.
They're going to look at you and smirk at your ass. They're going to do something for everybody except for us. It only took one time for me. The Asian hate crime bill, after we got Biden in, first thing he went to do was he went to work for Asians.
Let me ask you this question, Mike. If Donald Trump does get back in, what do you think he's going to do about the migrant situation?
Donald Trump.
I know he's going to stop them from coming in. What do you think he's going to do about the ones that are already here?
Well, they said that they're getting ready for the biggest mass deportation in human history.
I think he'll do it. He'll be the one to spearhead it.
I want him to do it.
Me too. God forgive me.
No, man, I'm listening to these immigrants coming in here, man. They're in Chicago getting money. They're telling black people that no money for us, we lazy. They told a black woman that. Did you hear that?
Mm-mm.
You hear that? Yeah. Told a black woman, no money for you because you're lazy.
Mm.
Man, what's up, man? We got Carlos Hardy, Dr. Carlos Hardy in the building. What up, Doc? You remember Shay?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's Doc.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, facts. Deportation. Absolutely. That shit going down. And I want to see it go down. Because I don't want somebody in here telling us no money for you because you're lazy.
Exactly.
Like, if you got to leave your country, if you haven't built anything that you don't have a problem just up and leaving it. You know what I mean? Like, if I built something, I'm not just going to leave it on a whim.
Right.
I'm going to stay there. I'm going to try to protect it. I'm going to try to, I'm going to cultivate it. The simple fact you don't want to stay and cultivate Venezuela or wherever you're from lets us know. You lost over there. So don't come over here and call us lazy and say that we don't deserve anything.
Exactly.
While you getting all the free handouts and goodies. Like I told you, don't let these folks tell your kids that they mama and them came over here with nothing and made something of themselves. Don't let them tell you that, because these folks are taking advantage of every type of welfare you can take advantage of.
Every free service that's available.
Every free service. Every free house. Every free meal. And complaining about that, saying their stomach hurt.
And the kids are getting sick.
The kids are getting sick. And my stomach is hurting because the food is not adequate. Now, how do you get sick because you ain't got adequate food?
What are they giving them? Like the free lunches we used to get at the rec? What kind of food are they providing? I'm curious.
Them rec free lunches was it.
So what are they giving them? I'm guessing that's the kind of meals that they're getting.
I don't know.
I would love to see a picture of the meal.
Google and find out what they got going.
Let me see what they eat.
Google see what they're eating over there that's making them so sick.
At O'Hare Airport.
Why you doing that? I'm gonna show you too. So you got your sexy red mammies and your oversexed mammies out here as well. I'm gonna go ahead and put Nicki Minaj in that category. Nicki Minaj is toxic. I'm not going to put Megan in there just yet, but she close.
She close to toxic.
She close to mammy. She close to mammy. Cardi B's a mammy. Sexy Red's a mammy. Suki Hanna's a mammy. I hope y'all see Fonny's situation. Fonny is going to show y'all. So I want to show this. This is almost too bad to show, Ryan.
Let me see.
It's almost too bad to show. this is horrible. This is horrible. Oh my God! I hope they don't ban me for this. I hope they don't ban me for this. But for real, look. Let's get our daughters, man. Let's get our daughters. This is what's going on. Okay. I'm sorry, y'all. I ain't mean to show that like that.
What
I know.
Is she doing?
She's sucking, like she's.
Why is she doing it, though? What is her?
She's mimicking fellatio on a freaking gas pump with her mouth.
Exactly. I don't even know what to say about that, Mike. I'm at a loss for words.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope they don't kick my show off for showing that. Yeah, this is what's happening. Like they say,
sad.
Views. They doing it for views.
It's sad.
They doing it for clout. We're in the midst of probably, we're on the verge of probably one of the biggest political events in human history. In American history, I know. We're on the cusp of that. And this is what our young people are concerned about. I asked a young guy that works for me the other day. I said, are you into politics? He's like, nah, I ain't really into politics. I ain't really into that. I mean, I'm like, it ain't really my thing. I'm like, okay, you have to live here a lot longer than I do. Hmm. If everything goes in this natural order, you'll be here longer than I'll be here. You should be more interested in the political situation right now.
That's right.
But they're not. They're only interested in dumb shit like this. But I guess to break the monotony a little bit, I got to show you this. Did you see the little white dude playing the guitar for his parents?
I did. It was so funny. I saw it.
That shit was funny.
His dad was bobbing his head at first, and he had to realize what was being said.
I got to show the people this. I got to show the people this. Hold on. Let me put that in the notes real quick. So what's the deal with this cough syrup recall? What do we need to talk about on the cough syrup recall?
I think that's bad because so many people right now that are trying to treat themselves at home because they have RSV and all of these different things. They don't know how to treat themselves. They're buying this cough syrup, I'm sure.
Yes. Let me look. Let me pull it back up. Excuse me. Let's see which one this is. Robitussin recalled nationwide due to microbial contamination. So those of you who are out there, man, and you got colds, man, the Robitussin is not it. I'm going to end this episode on Blog Talk. Nobody.